T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, winner of 3 Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We were just kind of talking off the cuff about who could throw out the first pitch on Friday. Let me just read some suggestions that have come in.
All right.
Alan Rodney says he wants to see noted Brewer fan. And I don't think they're doing anything this weekend. Braun Strowman, he wants to see.
Okay.
You don't listen to Chuck and Winkler, you're going to get these hands.
You'll see Braun take a little BP.
There's a couple of guys that have mentioned CC Sabathia.
No, he's a Yankee.
Well, they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's a Yankee. He's not going to come. I believe he's under contract for another year. You would never have somebody who's under contract with another team coming to throw your first pitch.
How about Hank Aaron?
Would be great. Oh, that'd be fantastic. You know, Aaron, who was a part of the only city champion, the only time the city has ever won a championship in baseball in 57, the MVP of the 57 team.
And then Mark Calden wanted Trevor Hoffman.
Well, he played on the bad Brewer teams after the 2008 season.
Yeah.
So, and had to be replaced in the pen as a closer. And it was right at the end of his career. Henry Aaron would be a great choice. Henry's well into his 80s at this point.
This suggestion says Robin Yount should come in on a motorcycle parked by the mound and throw it the first pitch.
Not a bad idea either. You know the story behind that, right?
No, I do not.
Yeah, he came in riding on a motorcycle after they had a victory parade after they lost Game 7 of the World Series.
I knew he came in on a motorcycle to the ballpark.
Yeah, he came in a motorcycle into the ballpark. They had a little get-together at County Stadium, which I couldn't understand because they lost.
He told that story last summer, and I think he, like... I'd have to find it. He doesn't ride motorcycles, and they made him ride one, and...
Yeah.
He said he was apprehensive, but then it was really fun. Because he hated the fact that they had a parade. None of those guys knew it was... Why are we having a parade? We lost.
Yeah.
Why did they have a parade?
Good question. They lost.
Whose idea was that, buds?
Now, just think of it. Okay, if they beat the Dodgers, and they go on and play the Red Sox, and they lose in a hard-fought series, why would you have a parade?
I wouldn't go.
What they did, though...
Why did people go?
You know what they didn't have this year, which they had in 2011? And not that they need it. In 2011, remember, they had a pep rally down at Summerfest before Game 1 with the Brewers on stage, on one of the side stages there. They had a big pep rally down there. There was thousands of people there, too.
That I do recall.
And they didn't do that this year, which I'm fine with. You know, those pep rallies and all that, that doesn't do me any good.
Casey says fielder. KJ says Euchre.
Could be. Yeah, either one.
Yeah, Euchre's kind of been at the center of this, too. He's kind of been like the not mascot, but, I mean, after the games, who do you want to hear from? Yeah, Yelich and Braun, sure, but you also want to hear from Euch.
Well, he's been around for so long.
Yeah, so that's been really fun. The NLCS roster, I believe, Friday at 11 or 10, Friday morning, is when they need to publish it. Last week, they needed to publish it Friday at 10, and that's when they put it out there. And there's only 11 pitchers on it and 14 position guys. Now, we were talking about the 2011 NLDS roster yesterday, and there were only 11 pitchers on that, too. They did not change the Brewers in 2011 from the NLDS to the NLCS. It's very, very likely that the Brewers change this time around. And I think what they would do is possibly add a pitcher. Craig Counsell making comments of the sort that this is a different series. You know, we're going to need guys that can go a little bit longer. You look at the guys that they kept last time. Corbin Burns should be in. Chacin likely to start game one, we would think. Gio Gonzalez should be there. Hader and Jeffress, Knebel, Miley, Soria, Woodruff. Junior Guerra, I would think, still gets in on the 25-man roster.
I wouldn't necessarily guarantee it. They got those three games in Los Angeles back to back to back, the three straight games, and that's going to test their bullpen. So that would, I would think they'd keep an extra bullpen guy. Who knows? But I would think that's going to be the trouble spot, because in this Colorado series, you had 2 days and then an off day, but you got three straight days in LA with no off day.
Right. You're able to pitch Hader three straight games.
Yeah.
But there was a day in between. You're not going to be able to do that this time around, because it's going to be three straight games in three straight days, mm-hmm. and then game one and game two the 2 days before that. So I think they will need to add another arm. Cedeno is the name that a lot of people think is going to be back on here. He could be coming in at the expense of maybe Guerra or Peralta or one of those position guys who we'll talk about in a minute. Is there any chance that a Zach Davies or Chase Anderson find their way back into the club?
No. They got there with the bullpen, and they're going to stick with that. I don't think, I mean, this is just a guess. I don't think we'll see bullpen by committee in this series, but I think you'll see,
a bullpen is a committee.
What's that?
A bullpen is a committee.
Well, bullpen by
for the starter.
From the start, from the beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? From start, which you saw in game one with Woodruff. I'd be surprised if they did this because it's a 7-game series. I don't think you'll see it. But who knows what Craig is thinking. I think as far as position players.
Well, hold on with Zach Davies. Zach Davies, 24 innings against the Dodgers in his career, a 2.59 ERA against the Dodgers his career.
Here's my problem with that. It's been so long since he's pitched. It'll be 2 weeks on Saturday since he last pitched a game.
Yeah, now I don't know what work he's done on the side.
Yeah, but still, I mean, against live competition in a game itself, and you haven't pitched in 2 weeks, is that the guy you want to go out and pitch game three of the playoffs for you?
I mean, you'd have to get him some work, but his numbers are good. Yeah. I wouldn't put him on my projection, but I don't know. I don't know if you can write these guys off entirely.
Yeah, I would say I don't think Anderson or Zach Davies is going to make it. I think if any guy makes it, the guy you mentioned there, Cedeno, would be at it as a trade-out for Guerra maybe. But I don't think Chase or Zach Davies, if they choose one of the two, well, you couldn't go. Could you go with Anderson? The Dodgers are such a home run hitting team.
Anderson's lifetime ERA against the Dodgers is 5.10.
Nope. All right, there's your answer. Bad matchup.
I don't know. If you need another long guy, I wouldn't throw Davies into the trash bin entirely. But it doesn't feel like they're going to add him.
I don't think, after sitting out for 2 weeks and hasn't made a start since then, I think that works against them too. And Chase, it's a little longer than that.
So as Chase, far as the position guys, now you could, I think when people talk about this at the bar or at your work or whatever, the most, I think, obvious or sought after move is, well, yeah, you got to add Cedeno and then you'll drop a position guy, because then that'll give you 12 pitchers. And that'll give you 13 outfielders or 13 position players, I should say. And then maybe Keon or Domingo would leave in that trade-off. Jonathan Scope is a guy who I thought maybe doesn't make the NLDS, still might be in jeopardy of making the NLCS. He only had one appearance at the plate. And against lefties in that series, Colorado, they still were starting Travis Shaw. Now, the Dodgers, three of their four starters are lefties, so you would kind of think, well, this is the reason they got Jonathan Scope. You would expect him to be on the roster, but just based on what they did in the Rocky series, they only used him the one time.
And I wouldn't expect Thames to be activated. If anything, would they trade him out for Granderson? I don't think they would. Thames, I doubt if you'll see Thames at all in the postseason, but maybe the next round. Granderson is the left-handed bat off the bench.
Well, Thames, if you want to look Thames, you could look ahead to the American League where you've got a DH.
Well, if you look like that, Thames has been playing so sparingly, he looks bankrupt at the plate at this point because he's not played every day, And his pinch hit, as a pinch hitter, he's just not very, it's like Broxton. Broxton's just not a very good pinch hitter. He hit the home run the other day. But as a pinch hitter, he's good morning, good afternoon, good night at the plate. Same
well, if
with
you're
Thames.
A DH, you're going to get four at-bats.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, but he isn't, I think guys like Thames and Broxton got to play every day. Santana's proven he doesn't have to play every day to produce, but Thames and Broxton.
And he could be a DH candidate, too.
Could be.
I mean, we are looking ahead here.
I don't think Thames, though, is going to be activated.
No, I wouldn't say Thames is. I'm wondering about scope. The Dodgers have lefties that start.
Yeah, in place of who? Broxton?
No, Scope's on the roster already. I'm saying maybe they take Scope
off.
Oh,
you take him off.
For a pitcher.
Oh, I thought you might keep Scope on. You think Scope's in danger at all of not being on the 25?
I think he is in danger of not being on the 25.
Yeah.
Because they only used him once as a pinch hitter against the Rockies.
But as you said, against a left-handed.
The Dodgers, three or four starters, could use
Brew him.
Hill and Kershaw.
And I think Granderson is a great left-handed bat off the bench in case you get to their bullpen.
I'm not entirely sure he's a lock, though.
I don't think, no. I thought for sure in the first series he'd be a lock, but who knows. I think Santana is good to go. I think they'll keep Santana because he's such a good pinch hitter. I think he'll be on this series roster. Broxton, I don't know, but they value his defense and his base running so much.
Definitely some tough decisions, and as always, we're glad we're not the ones making them.
And of course, Council wouldn't say anything yesterday.
No, well, why would he?
Yeah.
He's got no reason. He won't even name his game one starter. Yeah. It'll likely be Chacin, but he won't even name that at this point. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Tough decisions for those guys. An easy decision, Frames, if you're looking for a place to watch these games.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Next couple of days.
Absolutely. The Q Club of Wisconsin. The Q Club of Wisconsin, the place to watch all your favorite sports action. Also, with your friends, you can enjoy your favorite indoor sports as well. The huge entertainment room the Q Club of Wisconsin has. They got the pool tables in there, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, the electronic darts, ping pong, and a whole lot more. And coming soon, this indoor bocce ball league that they got going at the Q Club of Wisconsin. The indoor courts they got there, they're really excited about that. And it's drawing some good interest because bocce ball, it's a summer thing, but with the indoor leagues that they got going on, this is a pretty cool thing that they're excited about at the Q Club of Wisconsin. And then, again, those bocce ball leagues will be starting in November. They got an extensive food menu. The menu includes an award-winning fish fry that's on Wednesday and Friday nights, your choice of four different styles, piled high with all the extra. And, again, that server's going to come in, going to bring you a big plate of food piled high, and you're going to say, man, I'm glad I ordered the fish on a Wednesday or a Friday night. Check out their happy hour specials as well from 3 until 7. The late night happy hours on Friday starting at 10. Hey, this is perfect for Friday's baseball game, man. You can go there, happy hour from 3 until 7. The late night happy hour starting at 10. That's some good drinking right there. The Facebook page, well, it's got some live entertainment. You can check, see when the live entertainment is going to be at the Q Club on weekends. You got a company party coming up or a private party for the holidays. The Q Club can set you up with a private room there with your own VIP suite, the luxury pool table they have in one of them as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. When, in essence, that's Highway T. Take 94 West Highway T, go a half mile south on Highway T, which is Grandview. And it's right there. You'll see the sign, the Q Club of Wisconsin. Visit them online, Q Club of Wisconsin, QClubofWI.com. But again, you know, if you're not a big fan of the fish, if you're not a big fish fry guy, well, that doesn't matter because their menu is so extensive. You're going to find some good stuff on there. Their sandwiches are fantastic. Go out there and watch a game. There's going to be some great sports action going on this weekend, as always, here in our great state. And they got the volume of all the games turned up, so you can watch the game. You don't have to figure out what's going on because the game will be on and the volume of the game, so you can hear all the broadcast as well. Get out to the sports club that is going to be perfect for all your sports entertainment. The Q Club of Wisconsin, located in Waukesha. Q Club of Wisconsin.
I think Christian MVP. There's so many good players, obviously, when you're talking about that conversation. But I think that with what he did for that club, and you look where they were at the All-Star break, where he was really struggling. After the All-Star break, he really took off and really catapulted that ball club to catch the Cubs. And for me, if I had a vote, that's who I'd give it to.
That's Dodger skipper Dave Roberts talking Christian Yelich. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. We're going to do five for frames, five questions for Chuck coming up in about 10 minutes. There was a question I had for you that a listener sent in about Christian Yelich on the open market, what he would command next season. But we're going to, that'll be like the bonus five for frames question, and we'll do that with you guys in about 25 minutes. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Five for frames coming up in about 10 minutes. Hey, Mark sent us a message. I don't know if I remember this or not. He says, worst first pitch ever, Game 6, NLCS 2011. Do you remember this? Game 6.
Who threw the first pitch?
NLCS 2011.
It was a Sunday night. No, I don't remember who did it.
He said, media hyped up the first pitch so much. You won't want to miss this. Get in your seats early is all we heard. We thought Hank Aaron. Instead, have you seen the movie Monsters, Inc.?
No, I never saw it.
There's a character named Sully.
Okay.
It's John Goodman does the voice.
Uh-huh.
It's a big monster that's like blue and purple.
With one eye?
No, that's Billy Crystal.
Okay.
The little guy.
Okay.
His buddy is Sully. The big guy.
All right.
Type it in. Look it up. Look up a picture.
Okay. Sully.
Sully. Look up Sully Monsters, Inc. Apparently, and he sent me the pictures. I vaguely remember this. It was a guy dressed up as Sully from Monsters, Inc., because their slogan at the time, remember, was Beast Mode. The Brewers were doing Beast Mode.
That's right, yeah.
So a guy dressed up as Sully from Monsters, Inc. and throughout the
So that was, I don't remember us hyping it here on the show. That must have been a Brewer thing.
Could have been a Brewer thing, could have been a TV thing.
Yeah, it wasn't us.
Could have been
no
a situation like that. That was 2011, last time the Brewers were in the NLCS. Obviously, they're in it starting tomorrow. Ryan Braun, the lone player left from that squad to this squad, said that even though it's been 7 years, they went through a little bit of a rebuild. He did not expect this team to be this good so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I said that at the time, that it would be more meaningful to me to eventually win here than to go anywhere else and win multiple championships. And I meant it. I've obviously been here for so long. I've been through so much here in the city. I have such a special connection to the city, to the fans, to the organization. I honestly didn't think we'd be back in this position as quickly as we are, and I don't think anybody else did either. That's a tribute to everybody here that we've made it back here as quickly as we have. And, you know, again, for all of us, we're just so excited. Excited about the opportunity and really just embracing everything that comes with it.
They're one of two teams left in the National League, and yes, this was the plan. I don't think they thought they'd get here this quickly either. David Stearns doesn't seem to think so. Craig Council doesn't seem to think so. You always believe in your heart of hearts that you're the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they expected them to be here this quickly. I don't know who did.
No.
I certainly didn't.
No.
The NLCS 2 years ago when things were so bleak. You were going to tell me
no.
NLCS in
no.
2 years?
No.
No way.
No, no way. No way. Especially, not only that, Bart, but especially since the Cubs were picked to make a long run at this thing, and the Brewers were in the same division as the Cubs, and people thought, well, the Cubs, they're going to own this division for years to come. Not only in 2016 did they win the Super World Series, but they got a few more on the horizon. Now, they can't even make it to the divisional playoffs. That's where the Cubs are at this point, so... Yeah, even when the Brewers were in first place early in the year, I think many people thought, well, they're going to do what they did in the previous year, and in 2014, they're going to tail off. And once July, remember, when July hit, Bart, when they lost those five games to Pittsburgh, we're trying to save the boat here because people were jumping off of it. Oh, here comes the big collapse again. This is what they did last year.
I mean,
here it comes.
I jumped off.
Did you think that they weren't going to make it?
I was very unsure they were going to make the play.
Yeah, I thought they'd make the wild card at least. Well, before the season started, I picked them to win the division. Yeah, as I told you, and late August, I was like, well, when they were like six games out, I thought, okay, Cubs are the better team, but the Brewers can still get this wild card thing. But then they just kind of hung in there, and those two series they played against the Cubs, and they took 4 of 6 there. And the Brewers had to do everything right in the final 2 weeks of the season to put themselves in position where they are right now.
This has been the great thing about this season, watching it game after game and having opinions and having your thoughts and looking at the product that you're watching and trying to forecast it, is that if you did it rationally, you're wrong. if you tried to actually analyze what you were seeing and trying to forecast out, you're wrong. It's those of you that would say, they're going to be fine. Why? Because they will be. But why? Just believe. It's those of you that just believe people. You're proven right because they did everything they needed to do. They had that incredible week. They're still in the midst of this 11-game winning streak. The Brewers still have not lost. What's today's date? The 11th? They have not lost since September 22nd. All right? Those of you that are just believing and hoping, you're right.
Well,
you're vindicated.
September's the toughest time of the year.
People that looked at the 5-game series and thought, it's over, we're wrong. We're dumb.
The 5-game series against Colorado?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, against Pittsburgh. Okay. I think, though, to win 7 games to finish off the regular season, even though you're playing Detroit in those final 3 games, but you won those 3 games in St. Louis, and then you won the final game at Pittsburgh. So you won all those games, and then you get to sweep 3 from Colorado and win that tiebreaker in Chicago. This is amazing what they've done so far. Amazing. You don't put nobody puts together an 11-game winning streak that bridges the regular season and the postseason. Who does that sort of thing? No, I mean, there's very few times in baseball, if ever, somebody's done this. Somebody tweeted at me the other day and said maybe the Rockies did it a few years ago.
The original Rocktober.
Yeah, maybe they did it because they went on a tear. But that's few and far between. You could have this kind of winning streak. And Saturday will be 3 weeks since the last time they lost.
More from Bronny on the top.
I like the position we're in. You know, we've been in that position all year. I think entering spring training, nobody thought we had a chance to win the division. We did that. Nobody thought we'd have a chance to do much damage in the postseason, and we just swept in the first round. The Dodgers are obviously an incredibly talented team. You know, they've been in this position. I think this is their, you know, third straight NLCS and the fourth in the last 5 or 6 years. So there's a reason they're favored, but I really like where we're at, and I think we all feel confident about the way we're playing.
Still getting someone, we've talked about this team every day all summer into the fall. We've watched every game, okay? We've been to a handful, right? I'm still getting like...
Been to all the games, yeah.
Yeah, you've been to a bunch of them. Yeah. I'm still getting like, oh my God. Like, it happened yesterday. I was just on Twitter, scrolling through my phone. I saw a video of Travis Shaw giving an answer, and I thought, oh my God, the Brewers are in the NLCS.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just so rare. It just never happens. You look at the 4 logos. You look at the bracket. Houston, Boston, L.A.,
Brewers.
I mean, it's like when you see the Jaguars in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
You're like, Eagles, Vikings, Patriots, Jacksonville?
Well, that's the way I felt about the Packers in the early 90s, too. When the Packers would go to the NFC Championship game, we're like, the Packers are in the NFC Championship game? After all those years of as a kid, it's being so bad. And the Brewers, for being bad most of our lives, or mediocre most of our lives, and here they are in the NFC. Like, tomorrow morning, it'll be, you know, that day, the Brewers are playing in the NLCS. I mean, that's incredible that they're at this point, considering, like you said, where they were a couple of years ago when they looked to be several years away from getting to that point. But you look at the way the roster is and what they've done, and to win 95, 96, and it wasn't like they snuck into the playoffs. I mean, they put together a 95-96 win season. 96, if you want to include the tiebreaker.
They're the number one seed.
They're the number one seed.
In the National League.
They're the number one seed. They put themselves because they had a great season. They went through some struggles, but they had a great season overall. A great season. So, and they could cap it off. I mean, to win a World Series title. I mean, think about that.
I can't. My brain will explode.
Well, of the 4 teams left.
I'll melt.
Of the 4 teams that are left, the Vegas odds say they have the least likely chance to win it. The odds of that came out already. And I believe it goes Boston, Houston, L.A., and then Milwaukee.
I've got Bovada's odds. Houston's 2-1. Boston's 11-5, so about 2-1. Mm-hmm. Dodgers are 10-3, so about 3-1. And then Brewers are 15-4, so about 4-1.
So, yeah.
So Astros, Red Sox, about 2-1 odds. Dodgers, 3-1. Brewers, 4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the underdog role that they've been in. I think it's the underdog role that the city has been in, and I think it's the role that they want and should have.
But the Brewers, to quote Mike McCarthy, are nobody's underdog. As you mentioned, the best team in the National League, so they deserve to be here.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. They won the Central. We all know that. And to commemorate that historic event, BigTimeBats.com is officially offering a licensed Milwaukee Brewers Central Division team signature bat. It's a 35-inch full-size bat. It's got the facsimile signatures of the historic Brewers roster with the logo and the words right on there, 2018 Central Division champions. Everybody's signature is on there, too. That's a part of the team engraved into it. The bat is limited to 5,000. They're only making 5,000 of these. Sells for $129.95. You can get yours today. BigTimeBats.com. BigTimeBats.com. Don't delay. Get your piece of Brewers history now. Call 866-280-BATS or see it and the exclusive bat sets that they have to offer at BigTimeBats.com. BigTimeBats.com or call 866-280-BATS. 866-280-BATS. BigTimeBats.com. All trademarks and logos are used with the permission of Major League Baseball. Five questions for Chuck Freeman. We're going to talk some NFC North. We're going to talk some Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk some Jimmy Butler. All coming up next here on The Fan.
It's time to go inside the mind of Chuck Freeman.
Ugh, it's gross.
That's a scary thought. It's time for Five for Freeman. Five burning questions for Chuck Freeman. This is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
A lot of it is true, but you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time.
Nothing better than the NBA. I mean, there really isn't. The drama, the manufactured drama, the created drama, the Twitter drama, the practice drama. Practice.
Oh, drama. Who needs drama?
Five for Freeman here. Oh. Your first question is going to be Jimmy Butler related. That's who we just heard from.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Jimmy Butler, and this all according to Woj and then confirmed there by Jimmy Butler, who had an interview like with Rachel Nichols 20 minutes after it happened, which was weird. But Jimmy Butler went to Minnesota's practice yesterday, was verbally challenging teammates, the coaches, the front office. At one point, took the scrubs, like the last guys from the bench, challenged the starters, and beat them in a game. So he beat, like, Karl-Anthony Towns and Wiggins, and they smoked the floor with him. Apparently, Anthony Towns was, like, distraught over this whole encounter.
So they didn't have, what, did that then cause any physical problems? I mean, any fights, altercations, or anything?
No, I mean, I saw the interview with Butler. He looked pretty cleaned up.
Okay, because you go there and challenge some guys, you would think that there'd be some problems there.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler explaining more in detail.
I didn't go at those two. One of them came at me. Cat came at me. We're up in practice, and he says, anybody can get this work. I said, do it to me. That's all that I said. I said, every time I get switched out on you, you pass it. I'm a competitor. I'm in here talking. Come at me. If you score on me, I'm going to tap you on your butt. Good move. You got the best of me.
Jimmy Butler versus the starters.
Uh-huh.
So the question for Five for Frames is who would win this matchup? Here's your two teams. Bucks related. Giannis and the Scrubs versus the starters. So the starters are Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Snell, and Lopez. All right?
Give me that again.
Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Snell, and Lopez. Mm-hmm. Do you need to write that down?
No.
Against Giannis, DJ Wilson, Christian Wood, Jalen Morris, Tim Frazier, first to 35, who wins?
I'd say the starters.
Because Jimmy Butler beat his starters yesterday.
Yeah, well, I'd just say I think that starting team is pretty good.
Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Lopez, and then Tony Snell.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. They could bottle up one guy. Who else is it? Once, okay, Giannis gets his points, who else is going to score on that team?
Christian Wood's looking good, man.
Okay, but he's not what those other starters are that the Bucks have. He's not Brogdon.
Jalen Morris.
Okay,
Tim Frazier was a three-point machine.
I know you're joking.
Tim Frazier was a three-point machine.
Starters. I'll take the starters.
Okay. I'm going to go with Giannis. I'm going to ride Giannis and Seawood. Christian Wood has looked good. That is not a joke.
No, he has. He's been crashed to glass, too.
Tim Frazier is a three-point machine. Yeah. Also not a joke. Jalen Morris, I don't know much about. DJ Wilson, apparently, the Bucks are looking to move. The Bucks are reportedly looking
to move Oshkosh.
Well, that too. But they're apparently looking to move some of these guys. They don't want to just flat out cut these guys. They want to try to move them. But just like in fantasy football, when you cut a guy, you try to trade him to everybody in the league, and then you end up cutting a guy, and everybody knows it, and it's a waste of everybody's time. But I am, you know, in just the preseason games that I've been watching, they are shooting a lot of threes. They just look like a more well-coached team. I am cautiously getting really into the Bucks.
Okay.
And getting very optimistic about what could come. They open their season next Wednesday, the home opener next Friday. Question number two. We've talked a lot about this Brewer season and some of the other great Brewer seasons. 2011, 2008, 1982. What's your least favorite Brewer season?
Oh, I'd say 2002. When they lost 106 games?
56 and 106. They were sixth. Remember, the Central used to have six teams.
Yep.
The AL West had four, but the NL Central had six.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow, which I almost did today? Wear my Jerry Royster jersey.
Oh.
You know, Jerry Royster was the manager.
He started 3-0.
He started 3-0. He took over for Davey Lopes. He took over, and Jerry Royster was a hell of a nice guy. And he might have been a manager someday. But you lose 106 games in your debut as a manager, and some of those were on Davey Lopes. Well, ain't nobody coming after you.
I didn't like the season a couple of years ago. When was the last year Ramos Ramirez was here? Was that 2015?
14, 13, something like that.
2015.
Ramos was here.
Yeah, 2015.
Was it 15? Or was it 14? Was he here? Because he was here the year after they went to the... Wasn't here in 2012?
2015 is the year they fired Renicky. They still did have Ramirez.
Okay.
They had Craig Counsell. I remember talking to Jason Rogers, who was trying to get some work at third. He played first base. He was eventually traded for Keon. And I said, hey, do like some of these veterans, like Aramis Ramirez, he's got to be like giving you advice, right? And he goes, no.
No. Aramis was for himself at that point.
Aramis would just sit over there by himself in the corner.
Get paid.
Not talk to
anybody. Hey, when Aramis played at the Cubs, and the Cubs were bad, and the Brewers were interested in picking him up like a September push, second half pickup like they did with Moustakas, he did not want to waive his no-trade clause. He wanted to stay in Chicago. He wouldn't go anywhere. He would rather play for a losing team than get traded anywhere to a contender, and that frustrated the Cubs.
Yeah, well, you know, comfort is something that people like.
Well, I mean, he didn't want to play for a contender, so he wanted, for 2 months, the guy didn't want to go away and potentially get a World Series ring. He would have rather stayed with the Cubs, and so he did.
Question number three, let's go back to the Bucks here. They are taking a lot of three-pointers, as I've mentioned, and I'm talking like everybody. Giannis, everybody. John Henson at their scrimmage shot like seven. Over-under on made three-point shots in action this season. John Henson, over-under, 5.5 made three-point shots.
This season?
Yeah.
John Henson should never be shooting a three-pointer.
John Henson is shooting three-pointers. They all are. John Henson.
Oh, John Henson should never.
You know what I said. I
thought you were. No. I thought you were saying I say John Henson.
No, I accidentally
not
said
the former
Henson.
Iowa Hawkeye.
All right. I don't know who that is.
He should never shoot a three-pointer.
Well, he's gonna.
Oh, and we. By the way, we learned on the show, if we either one of us make a mispronunciation, we don't correct each other.
Well, no, that wasn't a mispronunciation. That was me like slurring my words.
Well, we don't. Even if we do that,
that was like a pre-stroke.
But even if we, you and I do that, we're not going to go there anymore.
Well, we can.
No.
Correct,
no.
I want you to correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't.
But don't correct me if I'm mid-stroke.
No, okay. No, I don't correct you. I don't correct you if you're wrong.
Okay.
I don't. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's where we're
going. I would like to be corrected.
Okay. Well, I don't think Henson should ever shoot a three-pointer.
I'm telling you, he's gonna.
Oh, he shouldn't.
I'll take the over.
I don't. Big boy, get around the basket. That's what I'd say.
Do you want to do that as a bet? 5.5 made 3-point shots?
No, because you know why? Because this wouldn't get paid out until like May.
I was going to get paid out by the end of October.
Do you want to do that? Okay. If you're so sure about that, let's go 5.5 end of October if you feel that's the case.
We'll end of November.
You just said November. You said October.
I'm negotiating.
Charlie. No, October. No. We'll do it for October, but he's not going to do it. So.
All right, no bet.
No.
I'll go with November.
No.
Okay. Speaking of bets, I've got the odds for the NFC North teams to win the Super Bowl. Which one would you feel most comfortable throwing $100 down on? The Detroit Lions are 66-1 odds to win the Super Bowl as of right now.
Well, if they play the Packers every week, they'd be good.
The Packers are 28-1 odds. The Vikings are 12-1 odds. And the Bears actually have the 7th best odds. They're 20-1. So Lions 66-1, Packers 28-1, Bears 20-1, Vikings 12-1. Where would you lay $100?
I think the Vikings have recovered a little bit from that Buffalo loss.
Well, the defense still is suspect.
No, but I'm just saying they've recovered a little bit.
Beating the Eagles was big for them.
It was. So I'll say, I mean, I think none of the four are going to the Super Bowl right now. But I would say the Vikings.
But also, I don't know if you knew this, because I didn't, but when the Vikings paid for Kirk Cousins, apparently part of the contract was he can never get hit or it's a flag. There was a really... The Clay Matthews one was brutal, but there was a play in the Eagles game where a guy came at Kirk and he like fell one of the Eagles. I think it was Michael Bennett. And he like kind of was holding his legs. Like he was holding his legs. And Kirk's standing there. And so then Kirk falls on top of him. And it was a 15-yard penalty.
Oh, really? Okay.
Must Kirk, be written on his own power.
Must be written in his NFL
fell
contract.
Fell on him.
Yeah.
And it was a penalty.
Yeah. They got to get that fixed in the offseason.
Kirk Cousins and the Vikings are benefiting more than anybody else.
They got to get that fixed.
Question number 5. It's the Brewers, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Red Sox. Boston, Houston, L.A. Which of those cities would you most rather live in?
I like Houston.
Remember, you're the guy that said you'd work in China for $10,000. Or you said $100,000?
Yeah, well, not $10,000.
I think $100,000.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd work in China for 1 year for $100,000. I would say I've never been to Boston. I've been to Houston. And I've never been to L.A. and Boston are the two major cities, I've never been to.
Well, Boston, good luck finding your way around anywhere.
Yeah, I've never been to Boston. This will be my first trip to L.A. And hopefully Boston, you know, if the Brewers are able to get there and Boston wins. But I like Houston. I was in Houston... I've been there a couple of times. I was there in 86 for the All-Star game, and I liked Houston. Warm down there, good golf. I like Houston. I'd say Houston.
Well, maybe this is a question then that I ask you in a couple of weeks after you go to L.A. and potentially go to
Boston. Yeah. People maybe. Say, everyone I hear from says, you'll like Boston.
It's a unique town. It really is.
I mean, a lot of history. Of course, the sports... culture is outstanding in Boston.
Yeah.
So, but I'll say right now, since I've been to Houston and I liked Houston, I'll say Houston.
All right, I'm going to start with you. There's a bonus question that we're going to throw out to you guys. We'll ask you that in about 60 seconds. Do want to let you guys know that it got cold, and you will find that out if you haven't already. It got cold, and now is the time. This is why I've been telling you the rest of the week when it wasn't cold, that it will get cold, and now it is cold, and going out to your car in the morning... that is no fun. Going back to your car after work when you're freezing, that is no fun. So Sound Decisions is the place to go in Racine. They will install remote car starters into your vehicle so that it's nice and warm and toasty by the time you get in. Sound Decisions has been doing audio sound systems since 1972. They also sell more remote car starters than anybody else. They offer the leading brands, competitive pricing, and a quick installation while you relax in their comfortable waiting area. During the month of October, if you go and take care of this now before it gets really, really cold and bring in a new or gently used coat, Sound Decisions will take an extra $25 off your one-way remote car starters. And if you get a two-way remote car starter, it'll be an extra $50 off. Two wins there. You save money with a reliable remote car starter, and you can save somebody from being in the cold. You'll give them a coat this winter. It's the Drive for Coats promotion. It's happening at Sound Decisions right now. Call them today, 262-633-8300, and get yourself started on a remote car starter system for your car. 262-633-8300. For details, check out their Facebook page or the website, brightpinkmailbox.com. There's a big-time, hilarious, really funny backstory behind that. brightpinkmailbox.com. Chris will tell you. Sound Decisions, get your remote car starter installed this week, 262-633-8300, or Sound Decisions on Facebook, also brightpinkmailbox.com. This question came in to me via, I do want to make sure I credit the person who sent it in, because it was a good question, and I said we're going to ask it during Five for Frames, and then it started to create a little bit of a conversation on Twitter, and it was from Kale, and he said, if Yelich would happen to be a free agent after the season, for how much do you think he could command on the free agent market? So if Christian Yelich, and that's what we're going to ask you guys at 414-799-1250, Christian Yelich, if he was a free agent, how much would he command on the free agent market?
That's a good question. I'm like, if he was an NBA player, man. But I mean, baseball, there's no salary cap. Wow. That'd be a hefty. That price tag is going to come up for the Brewers one day.
Well, Christian Yelich, $7 million was his salary this year. Next year, it does increase. They are taking the contract that he signed with Miami, and he's scheduled to make $9.7 million in 2019, $12.5 in 2020, and then $14 million in 2021. Now, he doesn't go through the arbitration. He signed an extension. Mm-hmm. These are his salaries, similar to how Ryan Braun doesn't get renegotiated and how Lorenzo Cain won't get renegotiated. Guys like Corey Knebel, arbitration, they'll get renegotiated. Guys yep. like Hernan Perez, Cedeno, Travis Shaw even could get a raise. He made about $500,000 this year. He's going to get renegotiated.
Miami bought out his arbitration like the Brewers tried to do with Jonathan Villar.
Right. Josh Hader's making $556,000. Yeah. He'll get more money mm-hmm. via arbitration eventually. He's under team control the next 2 years, Hader is, so they could come at him an extension as mm-hmm. well. But Christian Yelich, next season, he gets a little bit of a raise to $9.7 million. How much would he make on the open market if he was a free agent? I mean, do we stop at 10, 20, 30?
Oh, man. 40? When do you want to talk about this next?
We'll do that next.
Yeah, this is going to take some debate here.
1250. I'll read you what people have chimed in with so far. Based on his WAR numbers, the wins above replacement, the number that he should be making, his real value, is almost like what the Brewers are paying everybody. So we'll talk about that. Christian Yelich on the free agent market. What would you pay that guy? 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.